accession number 11750, Real One.
Mr. Fred Lineker, Real One. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Lineker?
I was born in Blackburn on the 5th of June, 1919.
And what did your father do for a living?
My father was a master butcher.
Can you tell me a little about your early childhood?
Well, the early child, I was brought up in Blackburn, and eventually, about the age of 9, we moved to Manchester, where I lived with my mother and grandparent, who was publican in the licensing trade.
Which area of Manchester did they live in?
C&M, just by Oxford Road, the other side of Oxford Road. It didn't exist now, of course. They had the Medlock, which was a large public house then. And we eventually moved in various pubs from time to time until I got to a place called Comstall near Stockport, where my mother remarried. I would be about 11. So my mother then took a public house in Bollington, near Macclesfield. And I stayed with her and this stepfather till I was 18. No. But on leaving school...
Hang on a bit. What education did you get? You presumably moved about a few...
The only elementary, because I wasn't, shall we say, very long in each school. Which is a disastrous thing, because a kid should be left in one school all the time. Moving about, you don't get the same education, I don't think. But I got by. And at 14, I went into the butchering trade in Macclesfield. And at 18, I left home. And went and lived with my grandmother, who had the Pineapple Hotel in Water Street in Manchester, which is now... raised to the ground, but it would have been opposite the Granada Studios. You know that, don't you? Yeah. What? And, of course, I stayed with her, where then I met...
Were you still keeping up with butchering?
No, which was fatal, I should have done.
Why had you dropped it?
Because I left home in Bollington, which is the seat of butchering, really. And the hours, like in those days, you worked late on Fridays and you worked late on Saturdays. And it was too long. It wasn't boring. I liked the job except for the hours, and that was it.
So what did you do when you moved to the Pineapple?
When I moved to the Pineapple, I went into a warehouse in Manchester.
As what?
Stormy warehouse man, textiles, you see. And then I met Dorothy, and she was in the licensing trade. She was, as they call them now, barmaids. She was a barmaid. Her parents was in the public trade as well. But she left home, two of a kind. And we was married in February 1939. And as you know, by September 39, the war started.
Had you been expecting the war yourself? Had you been watching?
Well, yes, in 38 it was brewing and all that. But, you see... With my grandmother had very Victorian ideas, you see, because Dorothy, the wife, was staying under the same roof as me at the grandmother's, you see. And in those days, it was improper, sort of, and you were sort of encouraged, you ought to get married, in case, you see, sort of things happen, which they didn't. But as I say, from February till the following January, when I had to go into the army. And
so you hadn't thought of joining the territorials or anything?
No, not newly married. Newly married, I mean, and you can see eventually at 19 years of age, you will be going. So you stay at home as long as you can, don't you? You see, that was it. it's like volunteering for something, for something that you don't want to do, isn't it? It's against all the principles of just be married and leave. So, as I said, I was called up with the militia, as they called it.
How did it actually happen? Did you have to register first?
All young men who was 20 years of age on the 3rd of June 1939 had to register. And as my birthday was on the 5th of June 1939, I missed the first batch. So I had to register in October, which eventually, after medicals and whatnot, I was called up on January the 15th, 1940.
Now, you say, where did you go to register? What was the actual registering procedure? Do you remember?
Well, it was at the employment exchange, you see. The employment exchange, you put your name down there. And then we awaited the next piece of paper was reporting for a medical.
So that was all you did the first time? Yeah. At the employment exchange, yeah. You just filled in the...
Yeah, and that's it, because they've got you then. They've got all your gen, everything. So you just wait for the next thing, as I say, which is a medical.
And where did you go for your medical?
You Oldham Lads Club. Up Oldham Road in Manchester. And there was about six doctors. And you went into each cubicle. And he was very lucky if he wasn't A1. Because by the time he came out, he was A1. And of course, that is another hurdle you've got over. Then the next thing...
Do you think it was a proper medical? I mean, if you'd been...
Well, when you come to think of it, it was a fast one. I mean, if you... if you could breathe and stand up, you was fit to go on the parade ground.
What was each... There were six doctors. What were they all...
And I don't think for one minute that each one specialised in any individual part of your body. I think it was a case that they all examined you, and then they decided, he's all right, sort of, you know. I don't think they say, possibly there might be somebody who'd be looked for the heart problem or something like that, but I think that if you went in with plenty of meat on you, and you look fit, young men, you could go in a uniform, you see.
So you passed your medical?
I passed my medical A1, and that was the last hurdle before the inevitable calling up.
And that was what you got on the 15th of January?
I had to report to Fulwood Barracks, Preston, on Monday, the 15th of January, 1940.
How did your grandmother and your new wife?
Well, Dorothy, the wife, was shattered. Like everyone else, they knew they would get it. They knew it was going to come. You couldn't escape it. But at the same time, when it looked far away, months away, it doesn't look so frightening. But when it starts the last weekend, then the last night, and then you're on the station, and you've never been apart, I mean, I only knew her 2-3 years, I know that, but you've never been apart, and you're leaving people, you thought the world of my grandmother. That is a part. And a 19-year-old boy that's been shall we say, well looked after, and you're frightened of what's going to come. It's a fear of the unknown.
So it wasn't just your relatives that were upset. It was you as well. Like
I don't suppose I was the only one either, by any means. Because it's an experience. I mean, if I thought I wanted that sort of life, have you say I could have.
So how did you actually make your part? Where did you have to go? You went to Fulwood Barracks.
As I've just said, on the 15, we left from Victoria Station, and Dorothy, the wife, and my mother was there. And that was the break. That was really. Very hard. So we go to Fulwood Barracks, and the first meal I get there is a black pudding. I lie, but it's a bit, it's not very old stuff. But we stayed a night there, if I remember.
Were you kitted out when you got there?
No.
So you were still in. What civilian clothes were you wearing? What had you decided to go off in?
Well, a suit then. The army suit and your gas mask in that cardboard box.
Effort. So that's all you had with you?
We stayed one night, if I remember rightly, in Fulwood Barracks, and then we were sent up to Stranraer, and from Stranraer to Larne, and from Larne to Belfast.
So they were just stopping points on the journey?
Oh yes, that was the route we took. In other words, instead of the old Asian Belfast, we went the shortest sea route.
And how many were with you? What draft size was it?
I would say a platoon. You know how many that is? About 30 something like that. But there was.
And they were all like yourself.
Congregate. It was a congregate. It's a transit. Place was Fulwood. I mean, I was on my own, as far as I know, on Victoria Station. But when I got there, there seemed to be so many people. And the funny part about it, there was lots of Lancashire boys in there that was destined for the Durham Light Infantry.
Now, when did you find you were destined for the Durham Light Infantry? You didn't know.
Except we arrived eventually at Hollywood Barracks, just outside of Belfast, some County Down. Well, at the same time, we had to cope with pickets for the IRA. But we was kitted out at Hollywood Barracks.
So you arrived at Hollywood and you were kitted out straight away, were you? Do you remember what kit you got?
Oh, the old blouse and.
They can't see the photograph. You have to describe it.
No, I'm looking. Tunic and belt, forage hat, gas mask, rifle, belt and sidearms, PT kit, which is sandals, trunks, and T-shirt, as we call them now. Steel helmet and all the kit for the full FSMO, as they call it, full service marching order, you know.
Did it fit you?
Oh no, it didn't fit. But there was a tailor's on the camp where he would kindly do the alterations for you, see. And he was a Royal Ulster Rifle Sergeant, my first sergeant was there, an elderly man, a Royal Ulster Rifle Sergeant, a regular, and he was in charge of our platoon. I believe it was Kelly, Sergeant Kelly, I think he was called. I couldn't be certain about that, but I can see him now. And a mad corporal was his oppo light from out of the border regiment. He used to go around in the morning and frighten him because he'd be half drunk then in the morning from the night before.
Now what unit? Post sergeant. What unit?
Now this was a 307th ITC in Hollywood Barracks.
Infantry
Training Centre. Where he was trained. You got your initial training, and then dispersed, I suppose, to fill.
So you didn't have a regiment at that time?
Not an official regiment. And yet, mind you, we had the DLI cap badge.
That was and the yet, kit.
Yes, and yet at the same time we was it was 307th ITC. There was no reference to the Durham Light Infantry as a guard, your address, or your pay, or anything. You see?
That was the only sign that the cap badge.
The cap badge.
And did you think you were going into? Did you know what the cap badge was at the time?
Well, we knew it was the Durham's, but there was no sort of 8th Battalion, 9th Battalion, nothing like that. We were just in platoons as a training platoon.
Would you have rather gone into one of the Manchester units, either Manchester Regiment, Lancashire Fusiliers, something
well,
a bit more local?
As far as I knew, it didn't matter to me where I went because they all looked alike. Cause in the infantry. I mean, I'd no knowledge of what whether one was better than another, you see.
Right. I'd like to look at conditions a bit while you were at Hollywood Barracks. Could you actually, you know, what it was like there, and then we'll go on to the training.
Mm.
What was your actual barrack room like? Were you in barracks or huts?
Well, when I look back now on what I have seen, I think it was very good because it was a modern barracks, you see.
So what were the rooms like?
I'm trying to describe what it would look like. There was brick buildings that would last forever, in other words, and they was well laid out as regards beds and what have you. Very good parade ground. Did very good naff. It was there. It was a permanent camp. That
and
it wasn't
your
a push
actual,
to.
What about your actual room? How were the beds on either side?
Yes, either side the beds. There's plenty of space. You've got your single cupboard.
By your bed.
And the fire, the stove in the middle. You know the. Yeah.
And what about washrooms, toilets?
Outside ablutions.
Outside?
Yes.
And,
I mean, it weren't running hot and cold water. I mean, it was cold water and all that you know. But, as I say, that never worried me there because it was as what I would expect. It was an army.
You say there was a stove. Was it kept warm? It was winter.
Oh, yes, we was. No, the conditions, the living conditions, I must say, then, looking back and what I've seen in other camps, it was reasonably good. I must be honest. But I have to say, they didn't enjoy that.
I'll come back. Now, did you have to keep the barrack room clean yourselves?
Well, yes, you had your fatigues.
How many were there to the room?
A platoon.
Again, 30-odd. Mm. And did you all help each day, or was there someone on duty for a day tidying up?
Well, you was on a sort of a roster performance, yeah.
And what about kit inspections?
Oh, yes.
What were they like?
Well, like they are... Being new at the game, there was lots of mistakes, wasn't there?
What kind?
Well, such as dirty boots, wouldn't they? And put blankets not folded correctly, and the sheet between should be square, and all this, Your button stick and all that had to be in the right place at the right time, with the knife, fork, spoon and tin's mess. You see, everything. Oh yes, you was trained to do this, but as I say, we would come straight out of service. It was completely new, this, and I wouldn't say that there was harsh with us for like, oh, them idiots, they don't know what they're doing. You see, we are regulars. There was none of that there. We are regulars. We know it, and we'll give them. No, I must be fair. Except this corporal, we thought he was a bit doolally, you know, because he was a regular, and I think he had done a bit of time in India, and he'd just go off. He just, of course, he was to frighten us. We was only young lads then, 19, and he used to put fear of God in us sometimes.
In what way? Was he a bully?
No, no, not a bully. He'd come in maybe at night time, and he'd been out on the town enjoying his stuff, and he'd go and wake everybody up, and, you know, frightening. And it was, you know, we were only kids, still fair on his cheeks, you know. And he thought that was great, something like that. But that's about, I mean, that is mild to what I have read in the paper now and the present time. But then it was ghastly.
What about your sergeant, Kelly, I think you thought?
He was a good man. I liked him. Yeah, I liked him, Kelly.
And which was one of them in the room with you? Would there be an NCO?
The corporal. Yes, mad. The madman. Yes, he was.
What about your food? You know, that you got given. What was that like for a young lad straight away from home? I mean,
well, funnily enough, you know, I've never been a picker of food. I've always been able to eat anything, any time. I mean, I didn't really enjoy the black pudding at Preston, but I ate it, and I've always been the same. I've never been finicky about food, and I can honestly say that. The food there didn't upset me. Because we used to go, and in so we used to go out to the Naffy, and the people in Hollywood itself, there was canteens there, and you could have as much as you could put inside you.
Did you get enough from the army without having to go out?
Yes.
It was just a bit extra when you went out to the canteen.
Oh yes, that was extras. But and as regards the quality, I don't suppose it's any worse than what it is now. But as I say, if it was a lad that had been finicking, I don't like me egg done like that, and the too much fat on the bacon and margarine, I've always had butter at home, boys. They wouldn't have enjoyed it, but I could eat anything, you see. So it didn't upset me.
What about your actual training then? This was your basic training you were doing.
Just basic training, how to march and form pose and shoulder arms and guard, how to do guard duties and so on, picket duties.
How did you get on with the drill to start with?
A lot of left footers, you know, and out of step weren't men, which, as I say, over the period, they didn't. I wouldn't say, you could say knock out of you, but not physically knock it out of you. But you soon learn, Maddie.
Did you have any trouble?
No.
Had you been in the boys' brigade or the boys' scouts?
No. I never got any. Well, it won't happen, will it? But I never got in any trouble, even there. I was never put on a charge.
So you fell in with basic drill quite fell in with, even though you hadn't done it before?
Yes.
Did you find it boring?
Monotonous sometimes, yes, monotonous, but I don't know why, but it's not that you enjoy it, it's something that you've got to do. And if you don't do it, you feel that you've committed a. You can expect trouble.
Did you know why they taught you drill? Did you know the purpose of it?
Discipline.
And you knew that then?
Yes, discipline. And we happened to be that we was one of the fastest, you know, 120 to the minute.
Now, were you learning 120 while you were at Hollywood?
Yes. Which, if we knew all about the army as rookies, we would certainly have known it was going into a light infantry regiment. But they didn't send you a letter telling you so, you see. All this seemed to mean that you was going into the Durham, but we'd know. It could have been the underground balloons. You know what I mean? So it was all set for this. There was only one experience in Ireland as regards a train that I never enjoy. I didn't enjoy, and that was a session at a place called Ballachinla.
What was that about?
Oh, it's a shocking place, that. That was on the rifle range. You know where they take you for the rifle
range? That's where you did your rifle drill.
It's
where you fire.
Target fire.
Well, we'll move on to rifles then, away from foot drill. How had they started to teach you the rifle? I mean, what was the first stage? Because it's not. I mean, did they just throw you in at the deep end, or
they gave you a rifle, and then they taught you the arms drill. You see, present arms, all this, obviously for guard duties and what have you, and then how to strip one, and how to clean one, and how to keep one clean.
And how were you meant to do that? What were the tips they were telling you?
With the 4x2 on the old pull through. And the magazine, keep that, you know, where you kept your rounds in. And it had to shine like nothing like the North Star when you look through it with your thumb over the bottom. And your safety catch, what should you say, and your sight.
And this was all with the short.
And with the bayonet, fixed bayonets and so on, dummies and what have you.
So the first they taught you drill with it, then they taught you how to clean it and strip it, and then what about the actual firing the thing? How did they start?
And then
we
went to Ballachinla.
That's where you first fired it, then?
Yes, because they had a marvellous rifle range there, you see, at Ballachinla. But the condition at the camp was shocking.
In what way?
Well, it was like a desert, sand, thick. Full of sand and blood. While we was there, it was blowing all over the place. Sand was getting, well, you know, when you were trying to keep a rifle clean, and sand was blowing all over the place, in your food, sort of what you'd expect in the desert, the conditions there. And then we went on the Bren gun, you know.
No, hang on. Sorry. The rifle. So how did... that's where you first fired the rifle.
Well, we fired the rifle.
They hadn't taught you with a 2-2 or how to aim it or anything?
Only the basics.
And what were the basics?
Getting down, holding it, and where to look, through, so on.
Did you have any trouble with the way they wanted you to lie? I mean, were they still fussy about the way you put your feet and things
like that? Yes. You know, spread out. Yeah, oh yes.
And did you find that difficult?
Well, as I say, with all these things which are new to us, I didn't find it difficult. To me, I was supposed that's what I had to do.
What about the first time you fired it? Were you surprised?
Oh, the first time, yeah, when it kicks you, see? Never, I've not even had a cap gun at home, never mind one of those. But after the two or three goes, it's like being on the fairground, you see. You're trying to do your best. You want to get as near the centre as possible, don't you? Very lightly at that age, it was more like a game. Inasmuch, you had no idea that you'd be pointing it at somebody. All you thought you would be pointing at, I think at that time, was a target.
So you got used to the kick?
Oh, yeah, got used to the kick, huh?
What about you as a shot? Were you a fair shot, or...?
Well, I never got any complaints, but I wouldn't say I would be a dead shot, but...
Did they class you as shots, you know, marksman, first class, second class, third class?
With the old... Some of them got them, I never got one of those, no.
So you don't... What class were you, do you know?
No idea, just I could fire it and I possibly could hit something, and that's it.
What about, did they practice any sort of speed of fire, you know, loading as quickly as, you know, loading and firing? Did they bother with rate of fire?
The single shot one, you see, you know, the... Oh, I'm thinking of the Bren gun. Yes, the single shot was the Bren gun. No, it was five rounds. So they were in your own time, you see.
So not
with the rifle.
Nothing about firing 15.
In your own time, but the difference with the Bren gun was the single shot and then automatic.
I'll come on to the Bren in a moment.